Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. I'm a little bit croaky, a little bit stuffy because of, can you hear it? I think, can you hear it a bit?
Not so much.
Oh,
I feel a bit nasally actually today.
Hello, welcome to a nasally episode of the Project Love podcast. It's winter here in England, and with it comes a constant streaming nose. So, today, we're going to be talking about change and specifically why change does not have to be as terrifying as people often think it does, particularly when they're standing on the threshold of a big change they want to make in their life. It can feel like, people often say to me, it feels like they're at the top of that really high diving board, and they know they just have to take a leap and leap into the unknown, and that terrifying leap. And I'm like, mm-mm. No, you don't. Come back down the ladder. Let's sit on the side of the pool, like dangle our feet in the water. And when you're ready, I'll show you how to like flow in there. And I think there is a bit of a culture around, not a culture, but there is a bit of a mindset around big change. And come on, take the leap, feel the fear and do it anyway. And actually, I don't think that's necessarily right or useful unless you get a buzz from that and that creates the momentum for you. But I don't think it does need to be that terrifying. What do you think?
Well, I think making change requires courage, and that courage, well, the definition of courage is to feel the fear and do it anyway. But I agree with you. I think it's it doesn't need to be this huge scary thing that many coaches and a lot of the self-help industry talks about, as you say, like leap and the net will appear. I used to love that quote and used to think that was, I think it's Julia Cameron. I used to think that's what change was all about.
Yeah.
As you said, leap into the unknown. But actually, it's about seeing the journey ahead as a series of stepping stones.
Yes.
And taking it step by step and just looking at what is your next step and then what is your step after that, and to keep making the steps and keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And that just feels, it's like a sigh of relief.
Yeah, I think so. I think when I was younger, I really enjoyed that, taking the big, scary leap and feeling the adrenaline rush of it. It made me feel like I was really out there having an adventure in life. And also in those days, I didn't have so much to lose. So it was fine taking those leaps and just quitting that job with nothing to go to.
Yeah.
But perhaps because, the older I'm getting and the more I would have to lose if I took that kind of risky leap, or perhaps because I'm just tired taking big leaps, I like my changes to be as wrapped up and not as wrapped up in cotton wool as possible, but there's always going to be elements where I feel the fear, and there's always going to be doubts that naturally come up anyway. I've got enough to contend with without making the journey itself hard as well. So if the bits I can make easy, if I can make the steps easy, then I will, because there will be natural fears and doubts that come along that I have to contend with anyway, and the upper limiting and the self-sabotage and all the wonderful things that happen on the journey.
Oh, aren't they wonderful?
So for those of you who are new to Project Love, let's just explain the kind of change we help people with.
Yeah.
So Vicky, you're the love coach of the duo.
Yep. So I help clients to get ready for love and to create the right conditions for a happy and healthy love life. And I take clients through a 3-month process. I've just opened up the doors again for the new season, which I do a few times a year. And one of those times is now. And I always like to help clients to see this journey as this series of stepping stones. And that in itself can be such a relief in that first session to really look at the expectations and look at, the pressure that people may be putting on themselves to create change and do it now, and this sense of urgency around it. And it can be such a relief to realize that actually that pressure that you're putting on yourself isn't useful. It's not helpful. It's not actually motivating.
Yeah.
And so it's just reframing what the change means, and to really create a a light and enjoyable experience around it.
Oh my God. Look, so I, for those of you that don't know the Product Love story, I was Vicky's number one love coaching client many, many, many years ago. And it completely didn't just transform my love life, which it did, but it totally transformed my life and the way I experience it, because it was such a journey of self-love. But I had, up until that point, had had so much heartbreak and had found it to be such a terrifying experience to go on dates that I actually had just stopped going on any dates for many, almost a decade, many, many years. And I think it felt like something that I wanted so badly, but it was so out of reach, and it felt so scary to even attempt to do the things that I knew I perhaps needed to do to find love, like be open to going on dates. I think that was the biggest thing when I met you and we started working together, was that I immediately felt safe and loved and held. So that suddenly it wasn't about being this, right, come on, put on the armor and get ready and toughen up and like take the leap into the unknown. It was like, no, that's literally the problem. Sit down, snuggle up, take the armor off, and let's gently start cultivating that love on the inside, so you start naturally attracting it on the outside. Doesn't mean there weren't terrifying moments, because dating will to this day be a terrifying thing for me to do. But it was the whole process and the whole journey was so nourishing. Whereas when I first thought about, right, let's see if we can sort my love life out, I probably was thinking, all right, brace yourself, this is going to be terrifying.
Yeah.
And actually the overall experience of it was literally the opposite. Mm. So yeah, it's good. It's good to remember that. I personally really resist. I don't like change. I don't think humans like change generally. There aren't many people who love change.
I wouldn't say I like change. I think it comes with the fear of failure, fear of success as well.
Fear of the unknown.
It just can be even more terrifying than the fear of failure.
Yeah. I think that's something to do with people feeling like they would have to be a different kind of person.
Yeah.
That something in them, they're afraid that something will change in them fundamentally. So they may in fact end up losing the people they have in their lives, or, you know, being all alone, being abandoned, being rejected.
Yeah.
Or they also maybe wouldn't even recognize themselves. Mm-hmm. I think I really, from the very beginning of coaching people, I remember noticing that. And I was just like, wow, it's almost like you're terrified of what you'll discover lies beneath when you allow yourself to become, like, to fulfill your potential.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are new to us, I am the life design and career change coach, the duo. So I help people through their career change journey and to figure out what it is they really want to do with their lives, and help them start that journey and start getting the momentum going and start making it happen, whether it's to change career or start your own business. So I've been doing that for, yeah, over a decade now. I am an old, old coach. I kind of love saying that and kind of find it horrifying. But yeah, it's been over a decade that I've been helping people to do that. And I find I just love the journey of change, because it takes courage. So anyone who's up for it, I immediately want to be around those people that have that courage. And you can't help but feel alive.
Yeah.
When you're on a journey of change, because, you know, like Brené Brown says, you've got to be on the playing field.
Yeah.
And daring to be vulnerable and daring to, you know, trying new things is in and of itself a vulnerable thing to do, because of that fear of rejection and making a fool of yourself and all those things. Mm. But you grow so much on that journey. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I love to see is, yeah, people have got results, they've made the change, they've figured out finally what it is they want to do, but also in the process of it, you grow so much. So yes, I transform my love life and I'm now with a wonderful partner and I've got a son. But for me, it was what I learned about myself and how I grew on that journey was also the long lasting change that happened as a result of going on that journey.
Mm. And for those that don't know, the reason why Project Love came to exist was because we started helping each other as friends to create change and transformation in our lives, in our love lives, in our careers. And Selena was my career and life coach as well back in, when was it? Must have been early 2013. And I remember just being so stuck in employee mindset when I worked back in marketing. And when we used to talk about my career change, not knowing that we were about to form our own business out of this, your enthusiasm and positivity and passion that you brought into all of those conversations made me think that it was possible to change my career.
Yeah.
And before, I'd always seen it as this huge sort of change that almost seemed out of reach, like impossible. And your approach and seeing it as a project and seeing it as a way to, approaching it like a project and seeing it as these manageable steps and just thinking about, well, what's the trigger action? What can we do first? And then what's the step after that? And just like really breaking it down made it just feel so within reach and so possible. And just being, I guess, like the mindset stuff, like taking me out of employee mindset and into a more entrepreneurial mindset.
Yeah.
And it sort of awoke that in me. I think it had always been there, but asleep, that entrepreneurial spirit. Because I remember bringing it into my marketing job, but it was like really activated and suddenly started to sort of see creative solutions and just like sort of tuned into a more resourceful state of mind. And just, feeling like it was all possible. That dream was totally possible.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that, about the employee mindset and being stuck in that and you not feeling that, you know, as so many people do, I think, if you've been, employed for your whole working life, you think that there are people who work for other people and that's you. And then there are other people that aren't you who can run their own businesses and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a lot more simple than people realize. Obviously, it comes with its challenges, as you have discovered. It's not always easy, but it's that each of them has different challenges, I think, in equal measure, but in different ways.
Yeah.
And I think there's a perceived sense of stability and security about being employed that actually you can get that same sense of stability and security, maybe not to the same degree, but more than perhaps you realize, by having your own business. But it's always about, it's not like going, right, I'm going to quit today and tomorrow I'll begin trying to make my first £100 in this new business. It's step by step.
Yeah.
So it's like, right, how can you, now you go down to a 4-day week and then a 3-day week as you make more business and things start flowing more.
Yeah.
But also, you know, exploring and experimenting and recognizing that if you take one step forward and it doesn't feel right, it's not irreversible.
Yes. Yeah.
You can go, actually, I've tried out all sorts of business ideas, teaching Spanish, teaching Spanish in offices and going in and teaching, like, you know.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, it was why I just gave it a try. Making jewelry and things that I tried for a short period of time without investing too much of my time or any, you know, some or any money. And in both cases, as you know, I am not a jewelry maker. I'm not designing jewelry on the side. And I'm not teaching anyone Spanish, apart from occasionally my son. But that was fine, you know, to kind of try. And it was wonderful trying those things out. And I learned so much from trying those things out. Mm. And it's so important to treat it as a game and treat it as a journey and play and explore and experiment.
Yes.
And then there'll be so many paths you go down that didn't take you to, that you could call them a dead end, but you didn't want to continue down that path.
Mm.
But on it, you will have learned lessons. You will have met new people. I met so many wonderful people that are still in my life that I met during the years where I was exploring and experimenting to figure out what I wanted to do all those over a decade ago. In it wasn't the last century. Yes.
No,
it wasn't. I was still in school in the last century. I don't know how old I am. Like a dinosaur.
When were you born?
Now I've hit 40. I feel like I'm sort of an ancient relic. But yeah, it's definitely about, it's the tiny steps, and you can break it down into the as small a step as you need it to be. And sometimes you will want to take a leap.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As well. And actually, sometimes you want to take a leap and sometimes you'll want to go back a bit into the comfort zone for a while to recharge and not be so like, you know, mm-hmm. sort of in the unknown the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to know that you need to be able to take your change at a pace that is right for you.
Yes.
And to take time.
Mm-hmm.
What things do you do to, make it less scary for your clients when they're doing the sort of, what is the scariest part of the journey, do you think? I mean, I think it's the dating because I find that terrifying. But when do you think people find it the scariest?
It depends. For some people, it's dating nerves, so meeting somebody for the first time.
Yeah.
And for others, it can be related to intimacy, a fear of intimacy. And it's actually when you get to sort of date 4 or 5 and you start getting closer to somebody, and that's where the fears can really be triggered.
Yeah.
Because then you're really being seen by somebody, you're really getting to know somebody on a deeper level.
They could even be like it starting to like you back.
Yes.
Horror of horrors.
Yeah. So I think there is scary, a fear of what if I don't like them and they like me?
Yeah.
Or what if I like them and they don't like me?
Yeah.
Or what if I like them and they like me?
Yeah.
It can be all of those different combinations. Well, I think the fear of intimacy, it just reflects a lack of intimacy with yourself. And sometimes by practicing self-love and really cultivating a more intimate relationship with yourself, you then start to feel less afraid of being intimate with another person.
Yes.
And then there's the fear of rejection, of course, a big one. I think for some people it's safer to avoid love. It's safer to be alone because they have got this big wall around their heart, and actually to take down that wall and open up to love, it's a huge risk, and they don't think that the benefits outweigh the cost. They think it's too costly, it's too risky to open up, because what if I'm rejected? And if I'm rejected and I'm open-hearted, then that rejection is going to feel so much more painful.
Yeah.
And I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
And so that's another big fear as well, of really opening up to love, which really requires a huge amount of courage.
And I think also the safety comes from discovering that you can handle those emotions and feelings and how to, and it's the practical stuff.
Yeah.
So this is, and this is the same with, you know, helping people through career change as well. I think when I was going through that of, the fears around opening up to love, it was learning things like really practical tools to manage when my anxiety is suddenly, going crazy. And it was things like tapping that you teach people, and actually the practical tools. And these days with, just managing any fears that come up and managing stress as it comes up and how to manage stress, it's about learning practical things you can do. So when you are when your body is suddenly flooded with fear or flooded with anxiety or flooded with stress, there are practical things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from exercise, movement, meditation, yoga, tapping, you name it, shaking, different things that you can do to actually help those feelings be with them and then release them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over time now, because I know, or I'm getting better and better at knowing how to manage my fears and my stress as it, bubbles up, I feel safe, so much safer. It's a safety that comes from within.
Yeah.
Because whatever happens, I'm pretty good with the resilience. And I know that most things that are thrown at me, I feel pretty confident that certainly with time, or, if it's big, really big stuff, or if it's just like momentary fears or stresses or a shitty committee avalanche, I've got the practical tools to deal with it, and I know that they work.
Yeah.
And that's what I teach my clients as well. It's just like, of course there are going to be fears there. This is how to handle them. This is where they're coming from. This is how to kind of take away the power from that fear so it doesn't completely consume you.
Yes.
And sort of make you fall to the floor in a fit of tears. I can't do it.
that's where you cultivate confidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
By confronting those things that are scary and taking the steps. Even though you feel a little bit scared or a little bit uncomfortable, you're still taking the steps and moving forward. And actually, I think we suffer more in imagination than reality, because what we thought was going to be and that's not actually they're not my words, they are the words of a Stoic philosopher. I think he's called Seneca.
We're going way back.
that I heard on a TED Talk with Tim Ferriss. So I just need to quote Seneca for those very wise words. I think sometimes what we fear the most when we actually do the thing that we think is so scary,
yeah,
and we were totally fine, A, we realized that it's probably our imagination that was creating all the fear, not the thing itself. And B, we realized, well, if I could handle that, what's
exactly
next?
Exactly. And that's where so much resilience comes from.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I've said it before on the podcast, but last year was a real, you know, I started the year knowing that we were going to be living not as long as I thought we were, but without a kitchen and just basically in total chaos, not having a home and all the extra stuff that comes around with doing up a house. And I just thought, I know what I need. I need to build resilience. I need to be able to weather this and navigate this without it, you know, having a detrimental effect. And so I started to run because I did all this research. Right, how do you build resilience? Obviously, there's getting off your chest and like processing all the rest of it. But actually going out and starting to run, which I always thought, I can't be bothered. I don't have the discipline. I don't enjoy it. And I was just like, look, I don't enjoy brushing my teeth much either, but doesn't mean I only do it once a month. And so I just started doing it. And because I built up over time that my stamina, and I was like, I can do it. And you know, when you get nearly always, when, well, sometimes 5 minutes in, but usually towards the end, I'm like, oh, I could just stop 5 minutes early. Like, no, come on, you can do it. But it's building up that kind of, yeah, that confidence and faith in yourself. You have got what it takes. You can do this and it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
And then of course the things like, you know, upping self-care, which actually is really important when you're going through big change.
Yes.
Is making sure, you know, because you're going to be doing a lot more in terms of, for example, our clients, mine have been doing projects, yours are doing homework and going on dates and things. Mm-hmm. So you might be inclined to drop, oh, well, I don't have time now to go and go to my yoga class or go dancing or whatever it is. It's like, no, you need to do more of that.
Yeah.
You need to do even more of that. And make sure you have nights in where you're having a nice relaxing bath and having an early night and giving yourself nourishing food.
Mm.
And there's a sense of safety, I think, that comes from that as well, knowing you're being really well looked after.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, unless you have someone who lives with you full time that looks after you, like an adult nanny, that person does have to be you. We do have friends who wanted to hire their own au pair. They don't have kids.
Just for them.
But they like the idea of having someone to look after them, cook for them, do their washing, you know, just make sure they're okay, put them to bed, take the dog out for a walk. Yeah, but if you don't have that, it is down to you to look after yourself and make yourself feel, you know, really looked after. And it's the same with, you know, making sure your shitty committee, the volume is turned down, the volume is turned up. And that loving, supportive voice.
Mm-hmm.
So that, again, you feel like, don't worry, you're not alone. I'm here with you. Mm. Even though you're the one saying those words to yourself, it has the same effect. Your brain responds in the same way as if your best friend was saying it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, all of that stuff, I think. But I think it's giving yourself permission to make the big change as easy and to feel as safe as possible,
mm-hmm.
without going too far and then trying to be all sensible and, you know, not doing things because it feels a bit risky. You do also have to occasionally step out of your comfort zone.
Yes. And you can start off with going like 5% out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And maybe 10% next time. Like, there's an exercise that I give to clients, which is smiling at strangers when they're out and about. And some people really cannot, or they just find it very, very uncomfortable and, you know, then tend to not do it at all.
Yeah.
And so then we have to just reframe the expectations. Well, what would it be like if you just went, you know, 5% out of your comfort zone? Is it, what would that look like? And try and design it around you and your capacity, as we were saying, your capacity for change and growth. And everybody's unique, everybody's different. And it's finding your own groove with it and your own pace with it as well. And then you can just up it from there. You're laying the foundation, aren't you? You're laying a really strong foundation.
I think also to remember that when you're stepping out of your comfort zone and you start hanging out in that area outside of your comfort zone, you're expanding your comfort zone, because eventually being out of that comfort zone becomes okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real process of expanding your comfort zone. Rather, you know, if I had said to my 25-year-old self, this is the work you'll be doing today. You know, you'll be going out there and coaching people to, you know, change their career, and you'll be creating these projects and working with these people. I would have been like, if you had thrown me straight into my life now, I would have been an absolute nervous wreck, because it would have been all stuff that I wouldn't have felt capable of. It would have been way too far out of my comfort zone. But I feel perfectly comfortable doing it, because over the years I've incrementally expanded my comfort zone so that the work I do today doesn't feel utterly terrifying. It feels like this is my home, this is where I belong, this is where I love to hang out. The thing that's also that as well is that, you know, it's you're expanding your comfort zone, so it stretches further and further out into the world.
Yes.
You know, you're not always going to feel terrified. It's not always going to be, it's just when you try things for the first time, it can feel scary. But I love that, going back and, okay, let's take a smaller step then.
Yeah.
It's got to be, I always say, you know, it's got to feel like a challenge, particularly when people are putting a timeline in and going, okay, I'm going to commit to just running this pilot course on this date, or handing in my notice on this date. And I say, how does it feel? You know, they'll be like, in 6 months' time, I'm like, you excited? Oh, it feels a bit far away. Okay. In 1 month, oh no, that feels too scary. Okay. 3 months, 4? Yes. There we go. That's the sweet spot. That's where it feels enough of a challenge to be motivating and feel fun, but not so much that it's so terrifying that you're petrified and you won't move. Mm-hmm. So it's finding that, you know, a challenge that it needs to be challenging and fun and feel exciting as well. You know, when people say to me, you know, and they've got their plan and they're ready to go, it's like, how do you feel? And I always want to hear them say, I feel excited and I feel a little bit nervous. And actually, that's how people nearly always feel at the start of a coaching journey as well, which I always say, perfect. That is the perfect place to be in. Mm-hmm. That is for me the sweet spot. That nerves mean you really care.
Yes.
It's really important to you.
Yeah.
And the excitement means you're ready. You're ready to take action. So yeah. And it's always, big change is always going to feel scary. But I think if it feels terrifying, then let's make it easier. Mm. Let's make it feel safer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that you can play and see the game in it and enjoy the journey as much as possible, rather than dragging yourself through it.
That is key.
With your anxiety going crazy.
Because that positive energy and that momentum, that's what is so motivating on the journey when you're enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Vicky. So if people would like to go on the legendary Get Ready for Love journey.
Yes, so head on over to loveprojectlove.com/lovecoaching. I'll also include the link in the show notes. Come and check out the program, see what it's all about, and the 3 month journey. Over the 3 months together, we will help you to discover what it is that you really want in your future relationship. We will look at your relationship blueprint, what your attachment style is, and what the attachment styles may be of the people you've been attracting, and how to be more secure in love. We will look at dating, offline dating and online dating, and how to maximize your chances of meeting people. We will help you to release any unconscious blocks that may be keeping you stuck in your love and dating life. And we will help you to become available for the relationship that you really want and deserve.
Oh, amazing. Also, I want to find out what my blueprint is and my attachment style. So if you could also do a course for those of us who are in relationships at some point, just putting that request out there.
Noted.
And basically the same, if you want to change career, everything Vicky said, but instead you go to loveprojectlove.com/career-change. And yeah, I've got a few spots open between now and spring. Really looking forward to seeing who I get to work with. It's again, it's a 3-month program, And I really work with you to help you get clear on what it is you want to do with your life and your career. And then you get started making that happen. So by the end of it, by the end of the 3 months, you know the direction you're going in, you're excited about it, you're confident, you know how you're going to make it happen. And you've got a plan that you can go away with and you feel like, yeah, I've got this.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm excited for those listeners who are listening to this and wanting and feeling ready for that change.
I love it so much. And in particular, if you have got a business idea that you've always wanted to get off the ground, you just didn't know how, you just felt you couldn't do it on your own, then get in touch. I absolutely love helping people to, yeah, start their own business. Or even if you don't know what that business is, but you dream of being your own boss, I've got a special love for helping people start their own businesses. So yeah, so we both look forward to hearing from you. And in the meantime, if you enjoyed this episode, then please leave us a review on over on iTunes. We love getting those reviews and seeing them pop up. And if you have already left a review, thank you. We really appreciate it. And it does make a big difference and helps us to spread the love further.
For listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say best podcast ever. Thank you.